This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. If you suffer from a diabetic complication, radiation damage, stroke, or a degenerative condition, hyperbaric oxygen therapy may be right for you. Ask your doctor about how HBOT can help you achieve your optimal health. Call Hyperbaric Medical Solutions at 844-877-HBOT or visit hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com/Hoffman to learn more. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's subject is the recent flap over The Biggest Loser. This is a big news story because recently it's emerged, not surprisingly, I could have called this years ago when the show was popular, that the contestants on The Biggest Loser, well, they lost incredible amounts of weight, sometimes three-digit weight loss. But the vast majority of them have regained all their weight and more, and many are plenty ticked off. Some are suing. And the message of that that's getting out, in fact, they did a scientific study on it that we're going to talk about in today's podcast, is that weight loss is virtually impossible for people who are overweight, that you can't work it off, you can't diet it off. That pretty much your weight loss is limited. And certainly the way that they undertook it on The Biggest Loser, that was not the way to go. So today we're calling in an expert on this subject. I would call her one of the America's top self-transformation experts because she's walked the walk. She's lived through it. She's literally transformed herself from sick and overweight to svelte and super healthy. And now she's a role model for people that she teaches a method of total transformation, which entails sort of a general rehab of your entire metabolism. She's there as a shining example that it's possible. And she's here to comment on the Biggest Loser study that just came out. So with us today, Kat James. Kat, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Good to be back, Ron.
Okay, so there's been a rash of headlines and media stories about The Biggest Losers, kind of a media feeding frenzy, and that kind of struck a personal note for you, as well as brought up some of the scientific issues that you've been delving into. So what's your take on all that?
Well, when you read, closely, and then you see, for example, things just mentioned almost cryptically, like all of these contestants who, as you said, gained back the weight, all except for, I think, one of them in their season 8, but that all of their leptin levels had plummeted. And then you see commentary sometimes in some of the articles from drug company people. Maybe they're mentioning an upcoming leptin drug, and they're mentioning things like leptin. And I've waited many, many years for this to be mentioned. Part of my history, overcoming my eating disorder, liver disorder, autoimmune disorders, almost having a liver failure, turning all those things around. But they're really talking about how all of these contestants were not able to keep it off, and that when they tried to eat at all, they could hardly eat anything anymore. But to bring up the hormone leptin and not talk about the epidemic of leptin resistance, which is just as epidemic, if not more, than insulin resistance, and that the real issue is sensitivity to the hormone, not the amount of hormone that you have, is a really big elephant in the room that needs to be discussed. Because before we kind of succumb, and I feel like we've just come out of a dietary dark age, you know, the whole fat-free era, which I truly believe has resulted in our psych drug era and in our obesity and diabetes epidemics, I was getting happy. I'm sure you were too, because this fat phobic insanity, cholesterol phobia, was coming to an end. But what I'm hearing in these articles scares me a little bit, because they are literally talking about how first in the study bariatric surgery worked better in terms of leaving people metabolically intact. Mm-hmm. But they're also mentioning advice and commentary that we should give up on obesity and that it should just be treated lifelong mm-hmm. as a chronic condition with lifelong drugs, and that would, to me, be another dark age.
Well, yeah, yes, you bring up an interesting point. I hadn't thought of it. Is that it kind of serves the pharmaceutical industry and the surgical industry, because we know that tens and tens of thousands of people, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people, undergo gastric bypass surgery, and then of course they're looking for the holy grail drug, which will be the ultimate fat bust drug. They haven't found it yet, or the ones that they've come up with have horrendous side effects and don't really work. But it's almost like they're creating, they're sort of maximizing faith in a medical or surgical solution and trying to create a certain amount of skepticism about extreme weight loss through natural means.
It's no use. Throw in the towel. I mean, I only know how the woman that I was would have reacted to this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have, I was already so gone and not believing that there was a solution, and that I would have completely bought into it. And the truth is, they don't talk much about the techniques and what was done. And my heart sank at the beginning. I actually was even offered to be a lead motivator in one of the first Extreme Makeover shows. Mm-hmm. I won't say the name of it, which I turned down because they weren't going to hear about what I had intuited and then stumbled on that transformed me. And my point is, not only is it possible, obviously, to lose the weight in a healthy way, but what we think of as calories in, calories out, it's finally being challenged, which is great. There are so many other things, but the main elephant in the room, as far as I'm concerned, is the functioning of this hormone leptin, because when leptin levels, they're talking about plummeting in these obese people. But the diet that they did was starvation and no fat. The mm-hmm. biggest loser of all, the one who had the three-digit weight loss, in fact, was taking the skin off of his chicken and exercising mm-hmm. five times a day.
Wow.
And this person had no leptin left.
Yeah.
But the people generally, before they begin the diet, and they're very heavy, have a lot of leptin, but just no signaling in the brain, and no one realizes that we are at the very least about 3 days away. Every human, most humans walking down the street, from being resensitized to that hormone, in which case suddenly appetite drops dramatically, weight begins to drop, but that's just the beginning. The inflammatory, the hormonal, the immune processes are all dramatically affected, and this is something I've seen for 17 years living along with people watching this flip into this amazing state that no doctors are talking about.
Okay, so in a moment we'll drill down on the leptin science, because it's very exciting. And actually, you really were a pioneer in understanding this way before the notion was popularized. I think you're one of the first people who got it and began popularizing this notion that was maybe known to only a few research scientists. But before we talk about leptin, let's actually recall to our listeners, you know, you've done podcasts with us before, but to listeners who are new to you, what was your personal circumstance? What was your condition? And, you know, how did your body change? Because, by the way, I've only known you as like a super svelte, attractive young woman. And when I actually saw, it took a couple of years to dig up a picture of the before picture. And I was amazed because I always thought you just were blessed with great metabolism a svelte, very low body fat percentage. And yet there was a real transformation. So tell our listeners about that graphically.
Well, the irony is that if I'm in my hometown and giving a presentation, my high school classmates come because they don't believe that picture is me. So they know a totally different woman.
Right.
And so eating disorder, you know, typical fasting, calorie restriction led to my eating disorder, and it always does. And that also influences my views on fasting for metabolically challenged people. But the eating disorder got worse and worse and became classic bulimia, binging and purging. In high school, I stopped binging and purging. My mother put the fear of God in me, just on the weight, and then it was another form of bulimia, which is periods of starving followed by periods of binging. And some people are exercise bulimics, mm-hmm. periods of binging with lots of exercise. And so I eventually had liver problems.
Well, so,
skin problems.
Excuse me,
yeah.
The net result of that, you know, you'd think that you really were restricting, and then, the rubber band snapped back and your appetite went into overdrive, and then you started overeating. But the net, net result is, on average, you were probably under consuming calories most of that time. It wasn't like you were always overeating,
exactly.
Right?
No, exactly. And I turned myself by
so it's a
my
recipe for gaining.
Fat.
It's a recipe for gaining weight.
Fat storing machine.
It's the
fat storing machine, and worsening my thyroid problems, worsening my adrenal problems, and my sleep problems. All of these things that really lead up to this. But having no idea that as soon as I became insulin resistant, and anyone who's putting on weight, even as a healthy adult, has a little bit of insulin resistance. Well, it became a lot for me, and with insulin resistance becomes resistance to this incredible hormone leptin. And who knew that when that happens, the body thinks it's starving, and you'll actually have primal hunger signals just because these little neurons in the hypothalamus are not reading this hormone that everyone's brain needs to be reading, mm-hmm. and almost no, at least Americans' brain, is reading it.
And so this really highlights the perils of yo-yo dieting, because, and that's the typical pattern, is people say, I'm on a diet. I was like, oh, thank goodness I'm off the diet, or, I get to go off the diet. And it's like, no, I need to go on a diet. And it's like, it's one of America's leading industries. And yet the statistics are showing, and the latest statistic just came out this week, that American women on average are fatter than ever. And it's not as if we just discovered dieting. Dieting has been popular for at least the last century,
And if you're suffering to do it, you're actually doing it the wrong way, and it goes against everyone who thinks willpower is the holy grail, that you're finally going to have, some January when you make your resolutions. It's that means you're hormonally off if you have to make an effort not to eat. And I never would have believed that as the woman that I was, but it's really a quick journey to learning that for yourself.
Okay, so let's take a little deep dive into leptin science. What is leptin? High, low, what does it mean? And then there's, of course, when it's high, and that's supposed to be good, maybe it's not so good. Like, low is no good, but high is also no good. So some people don't get it about leptin.
Yeah. And it's irrelevant. They showed how high and low the various Biggest Losers contestants' leptin levels were, and they were
higher. This is the latest study, by the way. Could you explain what they did? They went back and
Obesity, I think. And I don't want to get this wrong, but it was all but one of the contestants from their season 8 winners had gained back all of the weight, some of them, and then some. Mm-hmm. And really, they focused on that they were metabolically trashed, basically, but what stuck out in my mind was the low leptin numbers. But they showed that the amount of calories that those people would be able to consume was extremely low, mm-hmm. and that those people were making Herculean efforts just to maintain without having to just be incredible slaves to this. And what is amazing is that they were never told anything about how to not only resensitize to insulin, because it used to be thought that low-fat diets would help with that, and we know that that's wrong now, mm-hmm. but how to, at the same time, and with the same guidelines, that would have brought back their insulin sensitivity, would have brought back their leptin sensitivity, and all of a sudden, their brain would be able to tell how much energy they have consumed. So that's looking at what leptin's function is, and it's made, again, by the white fat cells in the body, and they're finding it in some other cells like skin cells, but mostly known to be produced by the white fat cells. And as someone gains weight, they've got more of those, and they are mm-hmm. producing more leptin.
Mm-hmm. But which should be good. It should suppress your appetite, right? Because low leptin, you have a big appetite. It's like a starvation thing, right? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we get heavy, we're supposed to circulate more of it, and that mm-hmm. tells the brain, okay, you've had enough. What has to happen here is they've got to pay attention to the sensitivity and just gain that back, because the minute that's back, it doesn't make sexy TV, though. It doesn't make reality TV when someone all of a sudden, 4, 5 days, maybe a week later, mm-hmm. says, wow, I can't even finish this half of what's on my plate.
Right.
Wow, my energy has just soared, my sleep is back, and my head is clear. There's nothing sexy about that.
Right.
Their reproductive hormones, their thyroid works
right.
again.
Or it's,
their
it's
immune
like
system.
Week, it's like week 10 and you've lost 8 pounds. You know, it's like that's
right.
not such a big whoop, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, but if you're leptin sensitive, you lose a whole lot more of that because you lose your inflammation body-wide, and with
right.
that is a lot of water weight related to edema, which happens to be a lot of the weight we carry is inflammation weight. And so it's incredible, and it's fast, and it's very dramatic. But there's no guilt, there's no failure, there's no huffing and puffing necessary,
right.
as so much of this happens independent of exercise. Not saying exercise is not a good idea.
Yeah.
That this stuff, however, happens independently, and it makes exercise look like a very small piece of the weight loss puzzle. It's a great
how much weight did you lose cumulatively, and is your weight stable now? You're pretty much at the same set point. Because what they say sometimes is that there's the set point. It's very hard to defeat the set point. So if you're at like 230,
yes.
you know, and your set point's at 230,
yeah.
again, you can get down to 215, but your
yes,
body wants to be 230 again. So
right.
then
doesn't hold water. So to speak, you know, because our set point, what are you going to call my highest weight, my set point? Suddenly that's what my body wants to be, and it's not at all. When you're sensitive to leptin, it will make the body be optimal for reproduction and survival. And this is weight that I never was at. Even in my teens, mm-hmm. I have not weighed myself since 1989.
Oh,
I lost 10 dress sizes.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I tell people not to weigh themselves. But what's astounding is it fell off. Absolutely, gradually, imperceptibly, no good days, bad days, and those mm-hmm, who know mm-hmm. food and the kind of torrid relationship with food I have, I can tell you, no, I wasn't like, oh, I'm doing well,
yeah.
or I should eat that, or I shouldn't eat that. There were no more. It was miraculous.
Well, you weren't jumping up. I mean,
and
clearly that's the opposite of the paradigm on The Biggest Loser, because every week they would jump on the scale, and then they get like applause,
yeah.
you know, whoops and hollers. Oh, wow, another 12 pounds, you know, and it would be, and that is
yeah.
probably counterproductive. But for what period of time did this transformation occur in your body? Was it a slow, gradual, or was it a relatively precipitous one?
Well, what took me about 3 years is taking, at least just for this biochemical flip to happen, is under a week, in which case things happen fast for people. But mind you, I didn't know what I was doing. This is before leptin was identified in 1994. So I did this for myself in 1990 and only learned in 2004. That I had harnessed the power of leptin.
Oh, okay. So you intuitively did it. You intuitively
yeah.
were doing it.
I actually was trying to replicate a feeling, and it was the only couple of fleeting moments where I felt like the ball and chain of my, you know, physical mood ups and downs and my relationship with food and cravings and thoughts of food, which were mm-hmm. endless, had stopped. And I tried to replicate it. And the last food in the world that I thought was my freedom food turned out to be my freedom food, and that was fat. And so over mm-hmm. a year and a half, I tried to replicate that. Once I did, about 5 different symptoms happened literally overnight. So there was gradual improvement, and yes, I was changing and losing weight, but when that flip happened, I call it the flip. This is unique. There's no mm-hmm. one else calling this or even identifying
right.
this. And,
or
and
another
so
word for it is reset, I think. That word has been used, too, is that people can
sure.
achieve a reset of their metabolism
yeah.
through dietary means. And not so much through drug means. Maybe there were a couple of supplements that you use. You can tell us about that whenever you like. But,
and the supplements didn't really. I didn't use supplements that help it. The supplements that you'll hear about with regard to leptin are generally supplements that address those health issues that I outlined a moment ago: blood sugar, thyroid, mm-hmm. adrenal health. You know, there are things like Ervingia and Gymnema, which are actually incorporated into supplements that have leptin as part of the name. These are things that I put in my book just as things that, if we look at it as the health issues that surround these issues and address those, we're much better off. But doing that piece of the supplement, very, very minor and not even needed. So this is something I've been replicating in other people, this set of symptoms, for about 17 years. And everyone has a different threshold, and the leptin experts, diets that they're recommending, I'm looking at the individual things and seeing that many of them are deal breakers, but understandable because the author the leptin expert himself, when he's doing this on himself, has different thresholds than someone like the woman I was, or a very metabolically challenged person. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of prescribing these foods that if I had people on my retreats eating them, they would have wasted their money, and they would not achieve this flip.
Okay, so specifically, what was wrong with The Biggest Loser? I mean, let's critique that show. Let's take it for warts and all. The whole.
I'll do the simplest. I mean, my simplest summary is: it's not calories in, calories out. We have to let that go. And you'd read in research and scientific studies, it's almost a presumption in how these studies are often described. It's not energy in and energy out. It's how efficiently you burn fat. Mm-hmm. I can eat something that will make another person gain weight because I'm actually a fat burner, which we're supposed to be, unless it's a famine. We're all mostly in famine state. So you actually have to get yourself leptin sensitive, and this was not addressed because the suffering, where else would they then be able to engage people in all the shaming and the weigh-ins and the exercise and the fat-free and all of those things that are self-deprivation based.
Mm-hmm. And what about the intensive exercise? Because surely, if you drive a car really fast for a lot of miles, you'll run out of gas. You'll burn up the fuel. So that was the notion there, is that, just to drive these people to incredible feats of exercise, these poor, overweight people who are deconditioned. Yeah, right. So what's wrong with that idea?
Which a lot of supplements are based on. Yeah. You actually want to run at a lower idle. It was Dr. Ron Rosedale, one of the most recognized experts on leptin, who talked about running on a low idle, not upping, it's not about continuing to push your metabolism. Mm-hmm. It's about efficiency. Mm-hmm. And when you're leptin sensitive, you are efficient, and your body's actually not hoarding. So if you have a juice, and you have a bunch of fruits, and a bunch of cooked vegetables, and not enough fat, even too much protein turns to sugar, among other health problems.
Yes, that is a problem, too.
But if you're doing that, you're still spiking your insulin. And when you spike insulin, you're actually spiking leptin. And you do want to keep from spiking leptin, because if you get out of the room, that's the only way you're going to be able to smell the chemical when you get back into the room. And that's really the way we have to look at what the cells and the receptor cells for leptin and for insulin, that's the story there. You can't keep spiking those levels if you want to be sensitive. So once you get sensitive, all of a sudden the body knows you just ate.
Right.
And the primal hunger signals have been turned off, and it is another world, even a different world than most people who've never had weight issues in the United States don't even understand quite what this feels like.
Right. And I think there's also just a basic psychological premise that's being violated by The Biggest Loser, because getting to that zone of such intense starvation and heavy exercise is a little bit like, the people who climb Mount Everest. It's like a death-defying thing, and you can do it for maybe a few hours at a time. You can get there, but you got to descend eventually, because it's not a natural place to reside at.
Yes. And I've worked with people for whom introducing really hardcore exercise, even when they were leptin sensitive, actually caused problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like a
high stress thing that kept the weight on or something. Yeah.
And I've worked with a lot of fat restrictors who were runners, and then once they became leptin sensitive, knew, and they could feel it in their body, how they were naturally using fat for fuel and spontaneously went to yoga instead of running.
Yeah.
But there is also the thing that when your leptin is functioning, you have freed up testosterone, and immediately the change in muscle-to-fat ratio is stunning, independent of exercise, and I have case study after case study of this happening, including a trainer in Canada who had to fire his fitness model client because he said, "You are on steroids." And this person had just attended my program and gained almost 3 pounds of solid muscle on 2 to 3 instead of 5 to 6 workouts in under a month. And
so we're looking for a softer look, not quite so chiseled. That's a problem.
Well, and it's not healthy. The outline of our our muscles does not represent health. It's really, you know, how your cells are working, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay, you kind of laid the groundwork for a discussion. We know now what befell the contestants in The Biggest Loser, and we've hinted at leptin metabolism, but I'd like to find out, you know, what's the secret sauce? How do we get to leptin nirvana and that state mm-hmm. where it's easy to sustain weight loss effortlessly? That's what we'll take up in part two, because we're talking to one of America's, I will call her a self-transformation expert, Kat James, and we'll talk specifically about her program that leads people to more optimal health and more optimal body proportions. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.